Welcome to the Tennis IQ Podcast. I'm Brian Lomax.
And I'm Josh Berger. And in today's episode, we're going to do things just a little bit differently. The topic of this episode is actually inspired from a listener question. And just as a reminder, people can always reach out to us with any sorts of questions, feedbacks, concerns, input. And you can shoot us an email at tennisiqpodcast@gmail.com. And so the question that we received, and I'll read it, is as follows. So as a player in the southeastern U.S., summer tennis is upon us and it's unbelievably hot. Heat tends to make people irritable and impatient, myself included. It's hard to keep positive energy and intensity up for a whole match, especially a long one when it's 95 plus degrees. Would love to hear y'all's take and input on staying focused and calm during long, hot matches. So that was the question. And, when we received this, we thought this could be a great thing to devote an episode to for, I think, a few different reasons. I'll give my sort of a couple of my thoughts, and Brian would love to hear from your perspective as well. A couple of the things that came to mind right off the bat are, first of all, summer has just begun, right? When this episode is released, it will just have been started just a couple of days earlier. And as we know, just about everywhere where people listen to this, summer is quite hot. And how as a tennis player, you decide to manage the heat, the conditions, perhaps the humidity, will make a big difference in ultimately how you play and ultimately how you view the situation and what your experience is like playing in these sorts of extreme, hot, at times unpleasant conditions. And the other reason, so first of all, based on the season, I thought it was very relevant. But second of all, I think it really is a good chance to, reiterate and go over a lot of the same concepts that we've talked about before. Things like controlling the controllables, things like what your mindset is and how you're expending or saving your energy, as well as some other factors. So anyways, I would love to hear, your viewpoint, Brian, in terms of, this topic and where we get started.
I think it's a great topic. At least in, the Northern Hemisphere, we're getting into summer. Some of our friends in Australia, they're probably coming out of that a little bit, but certainly it gets very, very hot there as well in their summertime. So I think it's a very relevant topic. Personally, I've had a lot of experience with heat and not all positive, to be honest. So I think when we first think about it, it is important to know a lot about what happens to your body in the heat. And that's not only sort of scientifically, physiologically, but also how you react personally to that. We're each different in from a body chemistry perspective. The question that we received, that player lives in the southeastern U.S. and it's often very hot there. I live in an area of the country in near Boston where we don't have the same sort of consistent heat that a place like, somewhere in the southeastern U.S. or Florida has. And I bring that up because you can become used to the heat, right? You can get acclimated to the heat relatively quickly, say 7 to 14 days. And that can then help with some of the things that were brought up in the email. So that's something to think about, right? How much exposure are you getting to heat? Can you look at it as training in the heat as a process of acclimation? So can you train more in the heat? You may not always play in the middle of the day, but maybe that's a good time for you to train so that you can be somewhat acclimated to it and just be, monitoring your body. Muscle fatigue occurs earlier in the heat for a couple of reasons. One of the main ones is that because your body needs to be cooled down, there's actually less blood flow going to your muscles to deliver oxygen because some of the blood needs to go to the skin to keep it cool. So you're going to get more muscle fatigue in the heat, and therefore you're going to, that may also affect you mentally. We know that, fatigue often breaks the will to win. It affects your determination and motivation. And so I think being armed with these facts can be helpful while preparing so that you are understanding a little bit more about what's happening to you on the court, why it's happening. And, I know in as you responded to the listener, Josh, you mentioned a lot about controlling the controllables, and preparation. Super important because to be properly prepared, you need to know a lot about some of these facts, and you need to be maybe taking some extra steps or extra precautions so that you can manage yourself both physically and mentally in the heat. So I think it's really an important topic because you don't just want to go out there as if it were 50 or 60 degrees or Celsius, maybe 15 to 18 degrees, as and play the exact same way and prepare the exact same way. It's going to be very different physiologically, and so we want to understand that because some of the symptoms that the listener brought up with irritability, maybe just being impatient, that stuff can happen, but it starts in a way with the body. It starts with those levels of physical energy. And so it's super important that we're paying attention to that and that we understand how to keep those levels as high as possible.
I think that's all really important. And maybe actually before we get into some of these topics like preparation, like controlling the controllables, because I think you're definitely more knowledgeable about some of the physiology aspects. Do you have any resources that you would point people to, or just if people are interested in learning more about some of these things in terms of both products that people could take, in the heat, in terms of cramping and hydration, that sort of thing, but also just in terms of learning more. Are there any sorts of things that you'd point toward people towards?
Well, I think we can post some references to articles in our show notes, Josh. I have done research on this topic for to try to help people understand the effects, right? Because just as we were saying, you want your player to be prepared for what's going to happen to them. And so I put together some resources about how to play tournaments and understand the effects of tournament play on your body, knowing how to recover it, et cetera. And so some of that also had to do with what we're doing in the heat. So like you mentioned, muscle fatigue is one aspect of extreme heat. Another that we want to be aware of, it can affect our cardiovascular function. That's obviously a very serious thing. And it can also affect our central nervous function. You mentioned up the cramps. A lot of times, muscle cramps are not necessarily due to hydration issues or even fatigue. It could be due to central nervous system issues in which excess motor neurons are being sent to your muscles. And basically, it's an electricity issue within your body, and your muscles are overstimulated because they're receiving too many motor neurons. And so the idea there is to try to dampen the effects. Turn those channels off a little bit. So you may see products like Hot Shot, which is a spicy drink that is meant to turn off what are called TRP channels. And that can then lessen the effect of cramps. I've used that product. I think that that's really good because I've had some issues with going to the ER, thinking it was always dehydration, and I was always drinking and, mixing water and electrolytes and so forth, salt tablets, et cetera. So it never really was that, it seems. So this is more where you've just got to understand how your own physiology works. Certainly happy to post things in the show notes, but I really would push people to do their own research on this, obviously with credible sources. But there are a lot of great people who study tennis performance in a scientific way, like Mark Kovacs, so that you can understand not just the impact of heat, but what's proper nutrition for tennis players. I don't think it's great for us. I mean, we can give some general advice, but I don't want to be somebody saying like these are the things you should be ingesting while you're on the court, et cetera, because different people have different diets, et cetera. But yeah, I think there are actually a lot of resources about this topic, you know, from a physiological perspective. And based on that, then I think you can have a better preparation plan going into your match. If you're, you know, you're going into a, you know, the weather is going to be hot. Well, let's be prepared for that.
Yeah, and I think a big reason why it's important to start with preparation is because that's a controllable factor. When you're playing and the weather's hot or maybe it's humid, and you know it's going to be challenging in that way, and you know there's going to be factors outside of your control, thinking about what are some of these controllable factors, such as your preparation, is going to be critical. And when it comes to preparation, I think we can, you know, and we've talked about this in previous episodes, so people can certainly check that out if they're interested. But there's a number of different pieces to preparation. Part of it could be what you do the night before, for instance, packing your tennis bag, thinking about what are those things that you will need or you even might need the next day. For instance, in terms of water, maybe it's salt tablets, maybe it's certain things that you might ingest, you know, eat when you're out there. Better to bring more than less, not knowing what you'll actually end up needing or want to have when you're out there. But it brings along a certain peace of mind when you have, you know, when you have your bag packed the night before, because then you can always double check it the next day. So, you know, we've in the book Winning Ugly by Brad Gilbert, he devotes an entire chapter to this, to packing your bag and what are those things that you might need and could potentially be helpful. And I think especially in extreme weather conditions such as the heat, that's going to be critical. But in addition to just, you know, packing your bag and what you're bringing, there's also mental preparation, such as visualization. You know, when it comes to visualization, we want to be thinking about getting all of our different senses involved. And especially when it comes to the heat, we can try to really replicate that and try to make it as realistic as possible in terms of what we're feeling, in terms of, you know, when it comes to our different senses and that sense of touch. What does the ground feel like when we're walking on it? You know, what does our grip feel different because of the heat? You know, how can we really try to envision ourselves and really put ourselves in that position before we've actually been in it? And we could do that the night before. We can even do that in the days leading up to it or the morning of. So, you know, and also just I think that the last piece of this of preparation is really trying to plan out having a contingency plan for how we want to handle different scenarios that could come up. Okay, how do we want to handle it if we're really feeling exhausted? Do we want to be strategically using our time in between points, how we're going to be using our changeovers, you know, are we making any adjustments to our playing style? So I think as it relates to preparation, those are a few big things to keep in mind.
Yeah, I want to tack on to that, Josh, because I think your contingency plan, if we go back to our episode on mental contrasting, right, we're thinking about what could possibly go wrong. And it's an opportunity to use essentially if this, then that type algorithms. If I feel this or if this happens, then I will do X. And the idea of pre-committing to those algorithms is really important. They may not all happen the next day, but you can certainly have a set of if this type of things with respect to the heat. So as you said, if I start to feel exhausted, there are a number of options. Yeah, you probably should take more time. Maybe you make some game plan adjustments. If that's within your capability, you might shorten points. You may try a different strategy. Maybe you try one where you're not exerting as much energy. Really, the physical energy piece of your preparation, I think, is super important here. So I do like the fact of mental contrasting and using algorithms as a means of helping you manage your way through the match. I also think let's consider this. We're talking about playing a tournament, most likely, right? And nerves are generally a little bit higher in a tournament match than they would be in a practice. And I feel like nerves are more of an energy drain than maybe we give them credit for. And you feel that much more in extreme heat. So think about, you know, your energy levels as if you were like a battery, you know, a battery in your phone. What drains your phone battery the most? Maybe you're playing lots of games, watching videos, etc. So, you know, maybe take that to a whole nother level. That's what's happening with your body in the heat if you're nervous. Your personal battery is going to drain so much faster. So part of that preparation for your tournament match should involve some sort of relaxation training or relaxation exercises, working on your breathing, working on getting tension out of your muscles, working on keeping your heart rate low. Maybe that's meditation. Maybe that's breathing exercises. It could be just simply bouncing up and down a little bit and just trying to shake out tension and things like that. So keeping yourself calm as a part of your preparation, I think, is important. Because again, your ability to really charge your battery when you're playing is quite limited. And the idea is, you know, can we have a very full battery and make sure that our consumption of the energy there is not overly taxing to the point where we're going to end up with nothing. So I think maybe you can do some things to help sustain it, but it's really hard to completely recharge yourself out there. So that's just something to be thinking about, is understanding what drains your personal battery. Nerves are a big part of that. And so I think as part of your preparation, you want to take care of that aspect of your performance.
Yeah, I'm definitely glad that you brought that up, because I think, you know, sometimes when somebody knows they're playing in these conditions, that can lead to, you know, additional nerves. Rather, you know, obviously tournaments and competition is a higher pressure situation than practice, than just, you know, clinics or anything like that. But also, you know, when somebody is playing in the heat, is playing in tough weather conditions, that can lead to, you know, an additional layer of the nerves. So going back to, you know, this concept of controlling the controllables, I think that there are a number of things that they can be controlled, right? With factors such as the weather, such as the heat, completely out of your control. We mentioned preparation, but things like your attitude, your effort, your physical intensity, your self-talk, these are the more controllable factors. Again, you know, what your self-talk looks like after, you know, an exhausting 20 ball rally and the heat might not be easy to control, but it is something still within that you can impact rather than some of the more outcome-based things that are not within your control. So, you know, as it relates to the you know, what are some of the main things we're trying to do here? And, you know, if we were to think of this as a few different bullet points, preparation being, you know, a big one, controlling the controllables being a big one, being mindful of how we're expending our energy over a period of time. I think one other one that I would add in is just having the perspective. And this is, I think, sort of a tennis IQ sort of a mindset, where we're not just aware of what's going on our side of the court, and we're not just aware of what's going on the other side of the court, but being aware of the match in general. And I think just the simple reminder that the player on the other side of the net is going through the exact same thing, going through the exact same weather conditions. They may have that extra layer of nerves too. They may be suffering in certain ways, or uncomfortable or irritable, or going through these same exact emotions. And I think that very reminder can go a long way in terms of lessening some of this pressure, in terms of keeping things in perspective, and in terms of ultimately managing the situation.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, our listener in the southeastern U.S., she has an opportunity to do lots of training to get more used to playing in extreme heat, right? So the reason I bring that up is everybody has a breaking point. And let's look at it in terms of perhaps hours. And that breaking point is, you know, is accelerated in extreme heat. So let's say under normal conditions, Josh, you might break down, say, after 4 hours of play, for example. You know, under extreme heat conditions, maybe that's 2.5 hours. So one of the sort of outside of competition training aspects that we want to be working on as a player who lives in a hot weather climate is continuing to push that breaking point out further and further and further, so that when you're in a hot weather match, you feel confident that I'm not going to ever reach my breaking point in this particular match. Years ago, Andy Murray used to train, I believe, each spring in Miami. And a big part of that was because it's so humid there. So the heat index, which is, you know, the essentially the temperature plus the humidity factor, makes it feel a lot hotter. That was something that really he felt was helpful going into the spring, you know, clay court season, but certainly into the summer hard court season in the United States, because that can also often be, if you're looking at tournaments like Washington, D.C. and Cincinnati, those tournaments are often very, very hot and humid. And sometimes the U.S. Open, given its placement in the calendar, can be, and you have to be prepared for that. So that, I think, is something all players can think about, especially those who live in consistently hot weather climates. They can actually work on pushing out their breaking point. If we come back to thinking about energy management in a match, because I think that's important too, because you're in the match. We've talked a ton about between point routine. That's an opportunity for you to take as much time as possible, especially if you're starting to feel that. And, you know, our listener mentioned something about getting irritable, et cetera. Well, that's a drain on your energy too. So think being prepared, knowing that that's a drain, can we maintain some level of calm between points? And that means on both sides, not overly celebrating and not getting overly negative. I think it's a good idea to pre-commit to taking your time between changeovers, like taking the full time and understanding how that time can really be used to replenish your energy and think about what you need to do while you're out there. So I think the more that we understand what can possibly happen, the more prepared we can be when we're playing. And I think that in itself can bring a level of confidence or trust to what we're doing. If we understand how we're feeling, why we're feeling that, and we have some options of things to do, like even maybe ice packs. You see that all the time at big tournaments, and or cold towels, ways to cool off your own skin. Maybe that helps the blood flow get back into your muscles a little bit more, helps you to regain some, you know, not feel as fatigued. So if you can be using a lot of these types of strategies, again, as you mentioned, Josh, controlling the controllables. But if you don't know what you can control, then it's hard to you know, come up with strategy for it.
Absolutely. And I think being very clear about how much time you have, right? How much time are you allowed to, you know, to take in between points? Sometimes it's a little, you know, players do tend to take a bit more at times, especially if it is really hot. For a changeover, how much time do you have, right? How can you make sure that you're maximizing that time and doing everything in your power if you don't know really how much time that you have? And then also, right, if we're talking about tournaments, if you were to win a match, or even if you were to lose a match and you have a consolation match afterwards, but, you know, win or lose, if you have another match coming up after a match that's likely going to be exhausting in these conditions, how are you doing everything in your power to recover, right, during this time. You mentioned ice packs, you know, stretching, you know, ways to nourish your body as well, knowing how much time that you have, especially when it comes to timing some of these things, like, you know, eating and like the stretching and all of these different factors is going to be really important. So again, you know, doing your due diligence and really finding out, talking to that tournament director, really finding out, okay, how much time is there before the next match? And, you know, sometimes it's not so clear if you're waiting for another match to finish, you're waiting for court or whatever it is. But the more that you can know in terms of, you know, how can we plan some of this out? How can we schedule it? And again, that some of this stuff is, are things you can do in advance, right? It's not completely surprising that you might have a second match in a day. So how can we prepare for that? Can we think about this scenario ahead of time? Can we make sure that we've brought all the necessary, you know, things that might be needed in terms of, you know, in terms of food, in terms of stretching, in terms of these different pieces, in terms of recovery as well. So, no, I think the more that we can sort of get ahead of this situation, the better in terms of properly managing it.
Yeah, and I think one of the keys between matches is cooling your body down. That's certainly important while you're on the court because that can help with that muscle fatigue issue. But yeah, you want to cool your body down between matches, kind of reset yourself physically, and then get prepared for the next one. And again, same sort of preparation going into that, understanding what could go wrong, having some if-then, if-this-then-that type algorithms for what you're going to do. Just gives you more of an advantage. And as you mentioned, Josh, you know, if we're thinking tennis IQ and we've worked on our breaking point, we can maybe trust ourselves that our breaking point is further out than our opponents. And let's use some of that to our advantage if we can. But so I think there's a lot of like long-term strategies to playing in the heat. It is obviously more difficult for those of us who live in climates in which every now and then we get a 90 plus degree day, or, you know, 35, 36 Celsius plus degree day with some humidity. It's very difficult to you know, get ready for that because simply the body is not accustomed to it. So that's a whole different thing to think about. But I think in that regard, things like relaxation training, being prepared with cold packs, you know, simply doing the best you can with some of those strategies is helpful. But when we're talking about tournaments, really managing your nerves, I think is one of the most important aspects of that. And I really think that this whole topic is so much about physical energy because your physical energy has an effect on your ability to focus. It has an effect on your ability to regulate your emotions, and it has an effect on your determination, will, and motivation. And so if you're feeling depleted in those areas, those other things are going to be much harder to control. And I think we talked about that in the past, Josh, more with respect to something like sleep, how important it is to get proper sleep. Well, certainly if you're going to be playing in the heat, that's really important. But it's the same thing. It's just that the extreme heat is going to, it's just another factor in energy depletion. And so we've just got to be super aware of it. So it's a great question from the listener.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, you know, another point that I would add is, you know, to have expectations, right? Realistic expectations going into a match like this, right? You know, expect that there will be irritating moments, right? Expect that maybe you won't necessarily play your best match of all time. Expect that, you know, you might have to really dig in and, you know, find ways to win ugly or, you know, figure it out and manage the conditions rather than, you know, feeling like you're trying to do everything perfect. So I think, you know, going in with realistic expectations about it, again, I think that's connected to keeping things in perspective, knowing that you don't have to be perfect out there. You just have to be a bit better than the person on the other side of the net, is really helpful. As it, you know, relates to this stuff, because, you know, most people will be in these types of situation. I mean, I think, you know, we're talking about heat, but it also relates to exhaustion. So maybe even if somebody doesn't necessarily have this situation as often, maybe they can relate it to those moments where they're, you know, deep in a third set or something like that. And, you know, it's a matter of how can we, you know, not, you know, how can we best manage our energy, and how can we best use our resources, our mental resources, our physical resources, in a way where that's serving us. And also, you know, I think, you know, you were talking about some of the sort of longer term things, which I think is great. And I think also, you know, thinking about what sort of mindset do we have around heat and sort of the battle of tennis in the first place? Can we get to the point, and again, this is not an easy thing, certainly not a quick fix, where we start to embrace playing in challenging environments because we know it makes us better, right? We know that if we're always playing in, you know, and again, both of us come from the, you know, from the Northeast, from New England, and obviously there's a lot of indoor tennis there, right? And indoor tennis tends to be easier in certain ways. You're not dealing with the heat. You're not dealing with the sun. You're not dealing with the wind. You're not, generally, you're at a pretty comfortable temperature. And, you know, when all of these factors are at play, it's easier to play at a high level, to play your best tennis. When it's really hot, it's a lot harder. So, you know, and when it's really windy, it's a lot harder. When any of these extreme conditions are at play, it becomes more challenging to play, you know, solid tennis or high level tennis. So with that in mind, if you can have the philosophy of, you know, this is something, this experience today is something that is going to help me get better, help me become the type of player that I'm trying to become, that I'm working towards becoming, and, you know, viewing it as a challenge, rather than a threat, rather than something that, you know, where with a threat where something could be taken away from you, whether it's your ranking or your UTR or losing to this particular person, but viewing it as an opportunity to get better. I think, again, longer term concept, but is a really important piece of this too.
And then maybe playing in extreme heat is no big deal. If you can do that, that would, I think, be the ultimate growth opportunity when that happens. And you're right. Yeah. Here in the Northeast of the United States, yeah, we do play a lot indoors, so we're probably more sensitive to some of these topics versus, definitely, say, somebody who is, you know, in Texas, California, or, you know, some parts of Australia that are really hot. You know, and you know, in some ways, maybe they're tougher and more used to that stuff than we are. So I think that is something that is it's an interesting point. You know, in the United States, especially for junior tennis, we have national clay courts coming up in the month of July. And some of the players that will go down to Florida to play this may be from climates like New England or the northern parts of the country. And so, you know, some advice for them would be to make sure that they get down there early enough to start to get acclimatized toward the heat. I would say also to those players, expect the first couple of days to be a little bit rough. That's okay. It will get better. That's the process of you getting acclimatized. And then you mentioned this earlier, Josh, but I think we should talk about it a little more specifically. We should really have a good plan for our self-talk in certain situations. Design some scripts around that, because when we get tired, when we're hot, you know, that involuntary thought machine in our head can start saying some really, you know, interesting things there that may not be relevant, that may be convincing you to maybe to stop or not try so hard or getting irritable, whatever. We want to be prepared for our mind perhaps trying to play some tricks on us and have specific scripts, very short, very simple, but productive, that we can use in certain moments, or maybe it's a whole match that we keep repeating to ourselves so that we can stay focused on what we need to. You know, we've in our last episode when we talked about automatic negative thoughts, we talked about to listen to yourself less and talk to yourself more. Well, this is another example of that, because the thoughts coming to you may not be completely rational, and they may not be helping you to achieve what you want, which is to play to win. And so by creating some very deliberate self-talk, perhaps that can help you get through that. But again, preparing, knowing what will happen is really helpful and critical here.
Definitely. And that self-talk could be directly related to what you're going through with the heat. Things like, you know, be the tougher competitor, or things like, you know, one point at a time, you know, don't get ahead of ourselves, right? Or don't get ahead of yourself. Something like that. Things directly connected to the battle that you're expecting with the conditions, with the heat, with the person on the other side of the net as well. I think that's really important for people to think about and plan out and script out ahead of time.
Do you have any personal anecdotes with respect to the heat, Josh?
I have. There's one that comes to mind where I used to go to this tennis academy in South Carolina going into my senior year of high school and then going into college for a month each time. And it used to get really hot. This is summertime in South Carolina. And we used to play best of five setters in practice. And I only played a couple of them, but I remember one particular time, and it was, you know, 90 plus degrees. And yeah, just a matter of taking a lot of time in between points, probably sometimes, you know, 30 seconds where, you know, it's certainly more time than you're actually allowed to be taking, but it's draining. It's draining. It's a matter of, you know, with matches like this, and obviously most people aren't out there playing best of five setters, but, you know, it's often just a sort of survival of the fittest. It's a matter of who can play closer to their normal level. If both players' games drop, which player can sort of keep it together more? So I think keeping that in mind and knowing that, hey, you don't have to be perfect. You know, the other player ended up cramping a lot, and it certainly wasn't my best match, but was able to keep it together more and, you know, just play decent, solid tennis, and that was enough. So that's probably one that comes to my mind. Not that I necessarily handled it so spectacularly, but I did enough to get the job done and gave myself a fighting chance.
Yeah. Well, that's good. You know, I think for me, I've personally struggled with this particular one, and perhaps because it's more of a lack of exposure, and I've had some unfortunate incidences with that. So I think at this point, you know, I really don't like playing, you know, in tournaments in the heat, and so that can be somewhat limiting in that regard, and that also causes its own nerves, and kind of it snowballs from there. So I think, you know, some of the things that you brought up about, you know, working on your attitude is super important. With regard to how you're going to handle that heat, having a good perspective going in. And I think, you know, as players, even if you've had poor experiences, and, you know, one thing that I've noticed, Josh, is that, and this came out in the research that I did, is as I get older, I seem to handle it less well. And so that can be a factor. As you get older, you may, not 100%, but you may struggle a little bit more with that regulation of heat and its effects. That's certainly happened to me. But keeping that in mind, you know, again, having those facts, understanding what could happen to you out there is important. Designing your attitude and your self-talk and how you want to conduct yourself out there, really, really important. But this has been a good conversation, a really good topic, I think, because yes, in the United States or the Northern Hemisphere, people are going to start getting into this, and it can definitely have an effect on your mental performance and physical performance.
Absolutely. I mean, and we see it at all levels, right? You mentioned some of the tournaments in the US, you know, Cincinnati, DC. I always think about the Australian Open. And, you know, oftentimes in terms of Fahrenheit, we'll see temperatures over 100, pretty regularly. And you see how, you know, the best players in the world on the men's and women's side often struggle with it, right? It's often really tough. I mean, obviously, they're semi-controversial rules as it relates to cramping within the rule book and what you can and can't use a medical timeout for, but I think that's beyond the point. But I think it's important to know that even the best in the world struggle with this topic. And it's tough. It's tough. You know, sometimes these sorts of things are easier said than done. Right. Like it's easy for us to talk about it. And then, you know, no pun intended, when you're in the heat of the moment, it's tough. It's tough to keep some of these things in mind. It's tough to act on them. We've talked about having a reminder system, having, you know, some sort of note card, something tangible you can bring to the court. It can be really helpful to remind yourself of some of these things. All of a sudden, you know, you're in exhausting rallies and you're playing long points and long games and you're feeling dehydrated. It can be really tough to keep the type of a mindset and attitude that's going to be conducive to you performing at a high level. So having some way to remind yourself of some of these things can be really, really helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. So great conversation. As I mentioned, we can put in some references in the show notes so people can look up these articles. I believe they're all freely available, the ones that I have. And if not, you could certainly email us at tennisiqpodcast@gmail.com, and I can provide copies for that. So, well, thanks for listening. Thanks, Josh, for the great conversation. For more on today's episode, please check out the show notes. If you have any feedback or questions for me and Josh, please email us at tennisiqpodcast@gmail.com. You can also use the Twitter hashtag tennisiq. Additionally, please subscribe to the show on your podcast platform of choice, including YouTube, so you can be notified of new episodes. You can also check us out on Instagram. Thanks again, and we'll talk to you soon in our next episode.